In 1997, Fred Rogers was presented a Lifetime Special Achievement Award at the Emmy Awards ceremony. I will read to you now an excerpt of what he said, and I will invite you to participate in his invitation. First of all, I have to tell you how he began. He began by saying, "It's a beautiful night in the neighborhood." And he got a huge round of applause. He continued, "So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who've loved us into being. Would you just take along with me 1 minute to think of the people who've helped you become who you are? Those who've cared about you and wanted what is best for you in life. 1 minute of silence." I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. When I volunteered to provide a sermon for you, I specifically asked for this Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving for many reasons. It's certainly less stressful than Christmas, where we worry about gift giving and Christmas decorations. Thanksgiving is just that, a time for giving thanks. How simple and straightforward and so meaningful. I forgot to tell Susan that's what I was planning to do. She just assumed that I'd be giving a sermon about immigration. So you have 2 Sundays of Thanksgiving. And there's not more time that we need to give Thanksgiving than now. So 2 Sundays, I think, is perfectly okay. I had the pleasure of picking out hymns. So those first 3 hymns that you heard were ones that I picked out. And I'm so grateful that the worship committee went along with it. However, they really wouldn't go all the way. I couldn't talk them into "Over the River and Through the Hills to Grandma's House." I go, well, they wouldn't do that. I guess that's not a hymn. So, but they did do the 3 I really wanted. So I'm very grateful about that. So where do we begin with our giving of thanks? There are so many reasons to be thankful: for the beauty of the earth, for having food to eat and a roof over our heads, for the birth and life of Jesus Christ. The list goes on and on. My focus today will be on giving thanks for people in our lives who, as Fred Rogers said, have helped you become who you are. So you heard last Sunday about the benefits of having an attitude of gratitude. Let's take just a few minutes and let's be completely selfish. Why should you have an attitude of gratitude? Because it's good for you. I particularly like an article on 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. So here they are. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Gratitude improves physical health. Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people sleep better. Gratitude improves self-esteem. Gratitude increases mental strength. Multiple scientific studies have been done that have proven the benefits of gratitude. My favorite study was about the positive effects of gratitude dealt with Vietnam veterans and with victims of the September 11th attack. Those with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Recognizing all that you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times, fosters resilience. Here are some suggested gratitude practices. I think we went over a few of those last week. You can go over them again. Okay. One of the most basic gratitude practices is called three good things. Once a day, a few times a week, however often you would like, write down three good things that happened that day or week or why you consider them to be good things. If you're looking for more structure in your gratitude practice, there are a variety of journals that can create prompts for you. Your own gratitude journal you can create to just begin at each day or end each day and write down things that you're grateful for. If writing in a journal is not for you, you may just want to share a ritual with your partner or a friend to share with each other things for which you're grateful. Another gratitude practice is one about which I learned after reading the book Living Buddha, Living Christ. It's called mindfulness. I belong to a worship group that meets weekly, and we read this book for our Lenten study. We read this book for our Lenten study. We learned about mindfulness and how to focus on the wonderful gifts that we've been given and to be grateful for each one. I'll give you an example of one of the most meaningful worship services I've ever had. We were learning about mindful eating. Each of us took one M&M. We were told to keep that M&M on our tongues and to focus on how that piece of candy got to where it is now. Imagine the farmers who planted the cocoa trees and the workers who harvested those cocoa beans. Then focus on the factories where the beans are processed and the workers in those factories. And later when they became chocolate. There are drivers who drove those beans to the factories and the factory workers who made the M&M candies, and then the local grocery store workers. While you're thinking about all these people, silently express your gratitude for what each person did to bring you this one piece of candy. I hope you get the concept. This sort of mindfulness can bring an appreciation for the abundance in which you're living. The focus here is on the huge number of people that it took to bring you this one M&M candy and how you can be grateful for their hard work and their dedication. But being selfish and doing this just because it's good for you is not the only significant effect of expressing gratitude. The effect on another person who receives a genuine expression of gratitude is huge. And there are so many people in the world who need a boost and recognition. I was deeply moved by an experience that I had recently. I'd been in the hospital, and as I was leaving, I told my nurse how very much I appreciated all she'd done for me. And I asked her if I could give her a hug. As I was hugging her, I felt that she began crying. After a long embrace, she said to me, "You have no idea how much I needed that." I take my inspiration for this choice for this sermon from Paul. He was the best person we see in the Bible for whom we have many references to him giving thanks for other Christians. We find this in the scripture you just heard, which Paul tells the members of a church in Philippi, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He says the same thing to Christians in Ephesus, "I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." And again, in his letter to Philemon, he says, "When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God." So today, let's take our lead from Paul and from Mr. Rogers. But most of us do not live our daily lives with an attitude of gratitude. This is actually quite normal. What are the enemies of living this way? And what can we do to combat the enemies of gratitude? The first and most common enemy of gratitude among people like us at Raleigh Mennonite Church is what Hans has called guilt.
Okay, dude. I'm just not worth much. Everybody kind of knows that. Anything good that I get is kind of a cosmic accident. So I can't really enjoy it too much because I know eventually I'm going to have to pay for it. After all, you know, What am I? I was born with white male privilege, and I'm oppressing the proletariat by just being here. So if something good happens, well, how can I be grateful knowing I don't deserve it? And it's probably taken something away from the deserving poor. No point in being thankful for something I just accidentally got, right? In the end, I'll be exposed, ashamed, and forced to pay back what was never supposed to be mine. Karma's a bear, you know. For example, there are children starving in Somalia right now while I enjoy a juicy, medium-rare hamburger with the works. I really feel terrible about that. But the cow is already dead and the hamburger's here, and somebody's going to have to eat it. Maybe I'll give money to an overseas charity. I really should. That probably won't make me feel any better.
To really appreciate your comfortable life and the friendships you share, you might think about the misery that so many other people suffer. But when you think about their misery, it may be difficult to feel gratitude for what you have. Our church has been interested in the genocide and starvation in Palestine. It is a horrendous situation. How many of you ever had a parent or another adult say to you when you didn't eat everything on your plate or you didn't eat your vegetables, think of all the starving children in, and they throw in some country where the people were, kids were starving to death. My mother would say, think of all the starving children in Biafra. One of our hymns today states, God our maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. We all know that we don't adequately appreciate the fact that we have plenty of food to eat, a warm home in the winter, a church where we can worship openly and develop meaningful friendships, and so much more, because we feel guilty about these gifts. Perhaps a good Fred Rogers quote is appropriate here. I like you just the way you are. A remedy for guilt is a childlike acceptance of God's grace. A second enemy of gratitude comes from comparing ourselves with others and being envious or unhappy based on what another person may possess or may have accomplished.
Why do all the other people have all the luck? I've just been dealt a really bad hand. But some people have all the privilege. They get whatever they want. Like, I didn't ask to be born with ADHD, okay? I really didn't. And then my parents tried to solve me with medication, those awful sessions with psychiatrists. Then there were all the golden children who just breezed through and made good grades ahead of me. And now I have to look at people driving cars that run all the time, don't have rust spots, and I have potential prostate cancer. How does Elon Musk get away with this stuff? And everybody these days hates straight white males, right? We're everybody's whipping boy. What do I have to be grateful for, huh? Everybody else is having a great time and finding love. I want to be having what they're having.
The best way to combat this enemy of gratitude is to recognize how extremely fortunate you are with what you already have and what you have done with your life, and to stop making comparisons that only serve to make you dissatisfied with yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy. Another added enemy of gratitude is a feeling of entitlement, that I deserve to have what I have.
Excuse you. Why should I give thanks for anything that comes my way when it's exactly what I deserve, if not a little short of what I deserve? Just by existing, the world is a lot better off with me here, and it owes me not just a living, but a very good living. If I won the lottery of life, well, that's just getting what's mine. What some call conspicuous consumption on my part provides jobs for the laboring poor. Bless my heart. You only give thanks when someone has given you something that you don't deserve, right? And that never happens to me. Anything I have, I earned. I deserve it. I'm a self-made man. I actually deserve more than I get, but I can be generous-hearted about that. Just desserts are just what I deserve.
What is the best antidote to a feeling of entitlement? In my life, I've found that personal tragedy has truly brought me to my knees, and I hear this from so many other people. A crisis of some type in your life can make you know that your current circumstances are not permanent and that you are not truly entitled to your personal fortune. Your response to a crisis in life can be a message for you to deeply appreciate whatever you have that is good in your life. I started with Fred Rogers reminding us of another enemy of gratitude, a failure to adequately recognize the special ones who've loved us into being. There are people in our lives who've given so much, and perhaps you felt that you were entitled to their support, but no one is truly entitled to be loved and supported by other people. That was a gift to you, and you may not have deeply appreciated and acknowledged that gift. Abraham Lincoln, when he was president, was known during the Civil War to attend a church not far from the White House. The preacher, Dr. Gurley, allowed the president to sit in the pastor's study with the door open to the chancel so the president could listen to the sermons without having to interact with the crowd. One day, as Lincoln and a companion walked back to the White House after the sermon, the president's companion asked, "Well, what did you think of today's sermon?" "Well," Lincoln responded, "it was brilliantly conceived, biblical, relevant, and well presented." "So then it was a great sermon?" asked his companion. "No," Lincoln said. "It failed. It failed because Dr. Gurley did not ask us to do something." So I will close by following Abraham Lincoln's admonition and ask you to do something. Each of you were given a blank thank you note with the envelopes when you came in. If you didn't get one, please raise your hand. Hans will give you one. Here's what I would like for you to do. Write a note to someone who would not expect to get a thank you note. This could be your mail carrier, or the checkout clerk at your grocery store, or the person who mows your lawn, or a friendly bank teller, or the cashier at the store you frequent. You choose someone who has made your life better and probably doesn't know that. I'll tell you what I did when I gave this challenge to another group. I wrote a sincere thank you note to the man who has a shoe repair shop who's been taking care of my shoes for 30 years. He's performed miracles to save some of my favorite shoes. And the most interesting part of this account, since you know me, is that he is a MAGA Trump supporter. But his political stance has nothing to do with his amazing ability to take care of me, and I am deeply grateful. I wish to close again with the words of Paul, who's a great model for all of us concerning generous expressions of gratitude. In his letter to the church members in Corinth, he said, "And I today say, I give thanks to my God always for you."